Welcome back to East Texas Eradicators. I'm Jack Sorensen, and I know it's been a while since you guys have heard from me, but I'm doing something a little different tonight. We are in the process of getting this thing relaunched again, so it'll be the relaunch. We had a lot of issues with 2020 with COVID and, you know, co-host and things like that. It's kind of hard to get together and record a podcast with the whole COVID situation, and just threw a lot of dampeners on our intentions. So I actually recorded a podcast, or I did some recording at the Deer Lease with a couple good friends of mine, Jason Tebow and Frank Carranza. I'm going to go ahead and get that put together. I'm going to put it at the tail end of this little intro I'm doing here now. You'll have to excuse the audio quality. I only had two mics, and so I had some issues with Frank not really wanting to get up on the mic so you could hear him very clearly, but you can still hear him in there. I did my best to do some editing on that to clean it up, but it is what it is, and I'm working on getting some better equipment so that we don't have those issues in the future. So that's about all I got. I guess I'm going to go ahead and let this thing roll. Hope you guys enjoy it. Had a good hunting season. I'm going to bring Frank and Jason both in here, and we're going to have a sit-down podcast so that we can get a little better sound quality out of it, things like that. This year we're going to be adding some fishing into the mix. You know, everybody that does any hunting in Texas typically does some fishing in Texas too, so we're going to add some fishing information in there. I have a brother of mine that he's a gun enthusiast and things like that. So we're going to bring him on. I don't really know a whole lot about high-powered rifles. I mean, I have my hunting rifles, and that's about what I'm used to. But he's pretty well knowledgeable on all that stuff. So we're going to bring him in on a podcast, let him do some educational stuff with us and inform us. We're also going to be doing some fishing tournaments this year, too. East Texas Eradicators bass fishing tournaments. So had some big plans, man. We have a lot of things we want to get done and get this podcast rolling and do what we can to help out everybody in East Texas enjoy the great outdoors that we have here to offer. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and roll this thing into this podcast that we recorded, I want to say, sometime in November of last year. Maybe it was a little earlier than that. I think it was early November, maybe. Because a lot happened after we recorded this, and these are things we'll probably talk about on a future podcast. But for now, we're going to get this one out there. Hope you guys enjoy it. Check out our Facebook page. Please go check out our Facebook page. We're going to need to get that thing going. I think we only have like 125 likes on it. I'd like to see a little bit more traffic on there. And I mean, it's my fault for not pushing it more, but anything you could do to share it would be great. We'll start putting some photos up there. We're going to do some deer stand builds. So anyways, I'll get to it, man. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, go please like our Facebook page and let us know what you think about this podcast. And till we see you in the woods, be safe out there.
Hello, welcome to the most recent episode of the East Texas Eradicators. My name's Jack. I know it's been a while since y'all heard from me, and I'm sorry about that. But 2020's kind of sucked. I've had a hard time kind of getting this thing off the ground. I have big plans, big hopes, ideas for what I wanted this podcast to be, and we're just having to kind of make it up as we go along. So I'm actually coming to you live from the Deer Lease in Segno, Texas. I don't know if anybody knows where that's at. Probably not, because it's the speck on the map. But I have some special people here with me, my hunting buddies from the Segno Deer Lease. Jason Tebow. Say hi, Jason.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Well, thank you, Jack, for allowing me to join you on this spectacular podcast.
I had to fucking beg you to do it. What are you talking about?
We're not going to talk about what we beg each other to do.
Oh, what? And Frank Pinchy Carranza.
What's up?
That's all you got, Frank.
That's well, that's all, buddy. I'm trying to get the cameras up.
It looks like you're up. Trying to play Pity Pat online.
That looks like a sweatshop porn factory.
This, that actually does, Frank. What exactly are you doing there, buddy? So this is going to be a East Texas Eradicator's first time ever. We're going to look at Frank's pictures from his trail cam live on East Texas Eradicator's. And Jason, what do you say? What do you think? Odds are there's going to be pigs and more pigs?
Yeah, I think there'll be pigs, but I think he's going to have that unicorn buck he always tells us about.
Larry's got the more for that deer on his side too. So there's something going on with these deer and with these spikes they're getting where it's behind their eyes and stuff instead of just bigger spikes.
Is it the same deer?
No, different.
So
different deer with the same. Did you call a morphodite?
Yeah. What's exactly a morphodite deer?
I've heard of a hermaphrodite. What's a morphodite?
An irregular, something that ain't right.
It is not right. That is true.
So the true definition of a morphodite deer is something that's not right.
It ain't right.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. That's a decent little buck.
Yeah.
Where's morphodite? Oh, look at the nuts on that pig. Okay. Oh, that's me right there, buddy.
That's it.
Yeah, that's old Jack flying by in his old Polaris Ranger.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, you had more on yours than I had on mine, that's for sure.
Well, at least I had deer on.
Yeah. I had a couple does on my back camera, and I had nothing on my front camera, so I don't know what to tell you about that. Y'all got to stop sharing. Frank, why don't you buy your own damn cards, buddy?
I do have my own cards. He has what had all his pictures on there.
Well, it looks like your camera had the pictures of my deer.
Speaking of my deer and your deer and whose deer, Jason, how many deer have you killed this year, buddy?
That'd be a big negative.
Frank, how about you? Okay.
Well, but if we're going to brag about killing something, I will say I did kill, largest thing I've ever killed in my life was Patty.
Patty?
Patty.
Patty Wagon?
No, that was the name of that borrow hog I killed.
Okay. Oh, No Nuts Jed.
No Nuts Jed.
That was a big pig.
350 to 400 pounds. Thought it was a sow. Even showed me her broadside. Then showed me her backside.
Yeah.
And then Jack came over with his side-by-side, helped me load it up, and she had a penis.
That's all. She had a
Yeah.
Okahonies, which made that some pretty good meat, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And so Jason sent me a picture while this hog was standing under his feeder and said, "What do you think about this?" And I was like, it looked like a short-legged buffalo to me, actually, is what it looked like. Did. It looked like a buffalo with super short legs, a bison. It was a huge animal.
Yeah. He, she was big.
Shim. Yeah.
Shim was big.
Oh, Porky Shim.
Hey, Porky Shim.
It would have been worth killing. It had barely been worth dragging off. But as it was, that was actually probably the cleanest hog, especially of that size, I've ever been around. Like, we drug that hog up here to the skinning rack. You couldn't smell it. I mean, it had no smell.
No,
it was insane.
And it's the biggest fat.
Yeah, belly fat.
Belly fat back that they
wild. So those that do trap, hey, if you trap just for sport and you let them go.
Cut them nuts off.
Cut the nuts off, man. Clip the ears.
Okay, let's go through this for a second. So you trap a hog, and it's a young boar. And he has, so like a hog's nuts, I've never seen a hog's nuts hang. They just kind of, they're stuck there, right? How exactly do you cut a nut, the nuts off a hog? Oh, because I've done that a bunch. No,
I don't even know that. There's several different ways to do it. You have somebody grab the hind legs.
Okay.
Hold the hind legs up. Sometimes you can have a 5-gallon bucket, and you can dunk the head into the 5-gallon bucket. So the way the hog can't move around. All you do is take a pocket
hog knife.
No, you take a pocket knife, you slit, pop the nut out, and you cut it. And then you do the same for the other nut. And you slit it, and you just take some axle grease.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
Take axle grease, and then slap it on the nuts and let it go. Or what used to be nuts. That's how you do it.
Remind me never to fall asleep around these guys. Never drink too much and pass out around these guys. And if there's axle grease around, like, run. But their nuts are, like, not hanging nuts. Okay.
No, the best way is you take it and you cut a slit, pop the nut out, cut it off.
So you cut the sack, you pop a nut out, bam, cut it off, pop the other nut out.
You cut the top of the nut, buffalo into the top.
So the whole time this is going on, the boar hog is just like, hey, cool, what are y'all doing? What's going on? Like,
no
problem, like, Cutting them up, what are y'all going to do with that grease, buddy? I mean, are they compliant?
I've never tried to castrate a 300-pound boar.
Okay. Well, Frank, that doesn't sound very pleasurable to me at all. But, where's the meat? Where's the freaking meat? We should have been grilling some of that meat right now, like today. Like, we got some new grates on our grill there, and we have no hog meat. like tenderloin.
I want to say the camp next to ours has the ribs.
Okay. They give a lot of it too, Dave.
I get it because Dave did a lot of the work. Karen did a lot of the work.
Yeah. Jack's daughter, Karen, new hunter, killed her first deer last year, right?
Last year, first deer.
Oh, super stoked.
Mm-hmm. What was her deer?
Huh?
What was her deer?
She killed last year?
Yeah.
A doe. An antlerless.
An antlerless. She was stoked.
Yeah.
I was sort of taken back because I killed this borrow hog.
Mm-hmm.
It was really big. Took four of us with ropes to try to get into the back of the side by side. Come up to camp, cleaning the hog. She asked me what I was going to do with the head. I'm going to throw it in the gut pile.
No, you're not.
And she goes, this is like the best thing about new hunters. She goes, no, that was your kill. I want to do something with the skull. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can do something with the skull. And she goes, no, it's your kill. I want to do something. I'm going to give it back to you. And I was,
yeah.
So I was taken back and said, yeah, this is cool. Because Jack's daughter.
What you don't know, she's an artist.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She's an artist.
She's an artist. So it's going to be cool. Whatever she does with it, I'm not sure. I know she hasn't really done much with it yet because she's working on a lot of Christmas orders for her. She paints custom cups and koozies and she does all that. But she did clean it. And whatever she ends up doing with it, it's going to be cool. Yeah. She got it clean quick and the cutters on it are ridiculous.
So we're going to have to get Karen on.
Yeah, one time. I asked her if she wants to be on the podcast. She's definitely down.
That's good.
And she wants to be on she's going to be on the lease next year. We're going to build deer stands. So something I definitely want to do because we have an East Texas Eradicators Facebook page. I want to incorporate some of our deer stand builds and some of the things that we're doing. How we set up our feeders. Are we going to set up feeders? Because we talked about tonight. Do you want to set up a feeder? Because if you set up a feeder, all you're doing is attracting hogs.
Maybe not.
How do we attract deer and not hogs?
Well, see, that my tripod, where the buzzer stand is, that feeder, it has hogs and deer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't attract the hogs like you put that second feeder, it's your stand, and that's all you get is hogs.
Yeah.
Right.
But the other feeder, it's got deer also.
So, you know, it's kind of the deal where, like, especially here in East Texas, if you know you're attracting hogs, does that mean you're getting rid of the deer? So, like, if you're calling in the hogs, does that mean you're going to see less deer? That seems to be the pattern.
Yes, because deer will not come around when the hogs are.
Because we're on a deer lease. We're not on a hog lease. But we're on a deer lease with a shit ton of hogs.
But the hogs are overtaking.
They are.
That's the problem.
But at the same time.
From Alabama all the way to.
What you got to do is ask yourself. If you're pouring corn out. And all you do is get pictures of hogs. You'll never see hogs and deer in the same shots.
They don't sit at the same dinner table ever.
Ever.
They're days apart.
Yeah.
They're at least a day apart.
And we're here to hunt deer. We're not here to hunt hogs. But at the same time, we have a lot of hogs. Jason and I were talking about earlier, kind of because he has our hunting areas are close to each other. So what we were talking about doing is setting up a stand completely remote to the stands that we normally hunt for deer, setting up a stand that's between us somewhere, and that's where we bait for hogs. That's where we put the corn feeders. That's where we,
throw all the sour corn. Yeah. Bring all the hogs there.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
See, my pot stand, I can hear them bedding in there. I can hear them grunting all the time, and I don't see them. But I can hear them back up behind me.
Yeah.
So their one's not coming out.
The hogs you're talking about.
Yes.
So why do you feel like they're not coming out and eating the corn you're putting out for the deer? Because I drove that spot tonight. I see no hog rootings whatsoever.
They're back there by the feeder. But when I hear them, they're...
In the thicket.
Yeah. Northwest of me.
Hmm. I don't know.
Maybe they're... I don't know what's back there behind me that they're going to. Glenn's area?
Yeah. But Glenn killed a deer.
Yeah.
He's seeing deer. That whole spot right back there is a hot spot for deer. The whole center area of this lease has been a hot spot for deer this year. And which is crazy because on the south property line is where we've seen all the deer
Good point.
Previously.
So Jack and I hunt on the perimeter of our deer lease. So on the perimeter of our lease,
southern
is
property
nothing
line.
But private owned land, which the landowners are clearing all the land. I mean, clearing to nothing.
That's probably the difference.
So maybe. Jack and I was talking, we was like, well, that's probably been a good year for us because it's going to push all the deer back into our lease because there's no wooded areas for the deer to hide. But what we found out is they didn't stay on the perimeter. They went to the center of the lease, and all the deer that's been killed in our lease this year has been in the dead center of the lease.
So when you're cutting fire lanes, it's still small pines. They're not cutting fire lanes yet. So you're in y'all's area, they're cutting fire lanes. They're opening the woods up too much.
You think? I don't know.
For the bedding, yes.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know if a deer, like you take a buck, I don't think a buck is going to bed in a thicket. I think he's going to bed in an area where he can raise his head up and see a little ways. You don't think?
Don't worry about seeing, you smell it.
Yeah, but at the same time.
Because they want, because I've been on uncles and aunts and uncles that all have farms. Okay. You run up on more cutting grain, hay, and everything else, and the tall grass, and the tall corn, and the tall, you run up on more like that than you do in a clearing.
Run up on more what?
Bedding areas. And when you're working, the tractor will be running.
But is that considered a thicket?
No. Yeah, I guess it is, because it's 6 foot tall.
Like your whole family's Amish, and they don't even hunt deer.
Carranza. Pinchy Carranza.
But I mean, a six foot tall corn.
Do y'all even drive cars? What is the Clydesdale horse that pulls your wagon?
I'm not Amish. I'm Bohemian.
Bohemian.
What is a Bohemian?
Czech. What's a Bohemian?
Czech what?
Czech what?
From Czechoslovakia. From Czech.
You're from Czechoslovakia?
Czechoslovakia.
Well, where's your heritage from?
I don't know.
Texas.
Well, before Texas.
No, there's no before Texas.
Yeah, there is.
We're our own country.
That's kind of where I'm
from. Yeah, I'm from Texas.
My dad was really old when he died. He died in Texas, and he was born in Texas. So beyond that, I have no history. I don't really know what else to tell you.
It's all Texas.
Texas. Mm-hmm. Not Czechoslovakia. Just Texas.
But where did you... Nobody started in America.
Not from Amish.
We're all.
Not from Amish? Is that a country? I don't know.
Amish are cool, though. I've done a lot of stuff with the Amish.
I'm not knocking Amish people.
I can build a rocking chair like nobody's business, right?
But do Amish people hunt?
Okay.
I have to.
I know they got some of the best food you can eat.
Like what?
The curing the meats and all that.
So they do hunt.
They can make some sausage, huh?
Yeah. Hams.
Yeah,
you need to get closer.
I've hauled all kind of freight from them.
Frank, talk more about sausage.
You asked Frank to talk about sausage, he just grunts a little bit.
Have you ever done real sausage on a table with this? Is going south real quick.
Hang on, Frank. I'm trying to keep a straight face. Yeah. So what's it like doing real sausage on a table?
Which when you take the guts out of the hog yourself, you got to clean them intestines, and then you put the meat back in it.
No, I've never.
That's
I've done my own sausage on a table.
Yeah. And what are you like? You pull the
family show.
You pull the meat out and you put it back in it.
When you clean the hog, you don't waste any bit of the hog. Okay, you take the intestines and you clean the intestines out.
Okay,
and that's your sleeve to make the sausage.
Right,
that's how you make sausage. That's how sausage is started.
But all this happens on a table.
Well, how the hell are you gonna do the floor? Here comes shit out of the intestine on the floor.
Oh, the show just went down.
Point taken.
We're good. You know, hey, everybody, we already know that Frank's into cleaning intestines. On a table.
Sausage.
And you cannot do it on the floor.
Have you ever made sausage on a table? I made love on a table, Frank. Does that count?
Yeah. I thought we were talking about hunting.
We are. Well, the hunt came before the making the love part.
That's another goose egg for me, so that's a bad thing. So.
No help from Frank on the love making, y'all. Sorry. Wow. Okay.
Hey, Frank's on the market.
So, okay. Here's my dilemma. Feeders or no feeders? Did deer eat parsley? I've never heard deer eat parsley. Do they eat parsley?
Yeah. I have to feed mine from Denny's and get the deer. I think, and I go feed them.
Yeah, no, I don't actually.
I don't know if they do it anymore. When I was young. I was a kid then.
Yeah, I got you.
And I always tried to take it.
Do they eat pizza with anchovies?
No.
My opinion is you feed sparingly.
Okay.
You put too much corn on the ground, all you're going to do is, especially in East Texas.
You're feeding hogs.
Too much corn on the ground, you're feeding hogs.
Crows.
And the crows this year.
Oh man. So Jack and I have a little ongoing joke about crows.
Is it a joke?
It's not really a joke. And I'll text Jack while we're hunting. I'm like, hey, crow just landed on my windowsill of my stand. Want to know where you're at because you're not out here this weekend. They're missing you. And
crows are thick.
Very thick.
Crows are thick.
I have a conspiracy
theory.
Well,
you got a crow claw, too.
I do, but I ain't using it. Yeah, God, if I used it, I can only imagine they'd carry my deer stand away.
It's called a deer feeder.
Yeah.
So I have a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
And a lot of people might think I'm crazy.
I'm all ears.
I think the crows are in cahoots with the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Tattletales.
There's somebody in this deer stand. Don't come here.
Yeah. And when they're done tattletaling, I can hear them flying 600 yards over to Jack stand.
He's over here, too.
He's over here, too.
Yeah. But how many deer have you killed?
This year?
Yeah.
Same as y'all?
Well, maybe they do know you're there. I don't know.
But at least I've seen deer this year.
I've seen deer, too. I actually missed a doe. Because I went for a headshot because I was out here by myself. And I'm thinking, I'm colorblind. I can't track blood very well. There's thickets all around me. I'm a shooter in the head. And if I hit her, she'll drop. If I miss her, whatever.
That's a good point.
And
But still, you should have missed.
You're right. But I did. So thanks for pointing that out, Dick.
So everybody hunts. And I've never missed a deer until last year. Same scenario. Nothing to do with nobody being out here with me. No offense, Jack. I was getting greedy, and there was two does standing there, and the doe behind her was like a couple inches taller, and I was trying to shoot her in her head. And I was trying to time her, picking her head up, and I missed her. So what's everybody's thoughts on where you should really do a kill shot?
So I know people are crazy about the neck shot.
I'm one for that.
I thought about the neck shot on this doe, and I didn't take the neck shot because she was facing me. You know what I mean?
You get a clear shot.
So it wouldn't have been a neck shot. It would have been a throat shot.
Well, then still, you get the windpipe and the spine.
But a deer's, I mean, we're talking
about. Their head's just as wide as the neck. I mean.
You're right. You're right. I don't know what happened. I missed.
People miss. I mean, I don't know what that feeling's like.
Another problem that I had this year, and I could kick myself in the ass for it, is during bow season. So during bow season, I drive my players out there. And I was running late. I was getting whistle bit by the sunrise. So I drive my Ranger all the way up to my stand. Old Sparky. I drive my players all the way up to it. I get out. I jump up. I get in my stand. And I'm sitting there. And a spike. And I have my crossbow. A spike comes walking up my lane. Right where we checked that camera earlier. He's walking up my lane. And I'm like, he's so close. Like, I probably could have took the shot. But he was coming at me. I'm thinking I'm going to let him get a little closer.
Closer's better.
Yeah, closer's better. I'd feel better. And then he stopped and he looked up and he saw my Ranger. And he turned around and he walked right back where he came from.
Are you sure it was your Ranger or did he see you?
No, he didn't see me. He saw it. He saw my side-by-side. He saw it. And then he was like, oh, I'm not used to seeing that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't startled. He wasn't spooked. He just turned around and went the other way. And he was gone. And I'm like, That would have been my first bow kill or crossbow kill, which kind of sucked. But at the same time, I'm hunting two deer leases this year, so I'm thinking, I'll get plenty of other opportunities this year.
Hey, how's it working out with that high-paid lease you're hunting?
Yeah, it's been all right. It ain't been great.
You go in there in the morning, huh?
I'll be there in the morning, yeah. But I'm not going to be on that lease next year. I'll be out here with y'all.
That's the case. You're not going to be on that lease. At least next year, you probably take a buddy or two to go.
Y'all want
to
go eradicate some does?
Yeah.
Eradicate.
Hell yeah.
Because we can kill does out there until February. February.
That's the freezer.
Well, all we got to do is go.
I mean, you got all kinds of people.
But I ain't going to take all kinds of people. I'll take a couple of people. Yeah. You've already been out there. You helped me stand that stand up.
Yeah.
Well,
already been there once. He's not allowed to hunt.
Oh, so it's you.
I did the work.
He did some work.
I mean, he said, like, one trip per person. You already had your trip out there. You're not allowed to hunt.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, I have three deer stands out there. We could go out there tomorrow morning and hunt.
Oh, we could. That's a good idea.
Let's go.
Hey, I'm down. You ready?
So I have a deer stand. I have three deer stands out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mom already said you better put a deer in the freezer now. Because he told me at the beginning of the season, don't shoot them yet. And I usually get one. I was like, Frank, where's the deer?
Well, so the thing is, I'm not getting on that lease again next year. So if we all went out there and actually all three of us killed a doe, the worst thing they could do is say, you're off this lease, buddy.
Yeah, but you don't can't
come back
that.
Next year. I don't want to burn no bridges.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true outlaw, Jason Tebow, coming to you live from the deer lease in Segno, Texas.
Yeah. Radio idiot.
I'm down with whatever. I have nothing to lose. And actually, that's a beautiful place out there. I would love to stay on that lease. But you know what I don't have on that lease? I don't have y'all on that lease. So
that or a camper or power?
I don't have any of that. But, I mean, I could get around that because I could bring a generator and I could haul my camper out there. But whenever you get off the stand and you're heading back to camp, the thing that you look forward to the most is hanging out with your friends, hanging out with your family, eating a steak. Yeah, who's at camp? You can't hardly wait to get back to camp. You're like, well, it sucks I didn't see a deer, but at least I get to hang out with my friends and eat a steak and drink some beer. I mean, that's a reward to me.
On the lease that I pretty much grew up on, it was the same camaraderie, but it was a little bit tighter because it was, I guess, my folks and everybody and all those boys were growing up. It would be like, okay, I got the pound of bacon this week. Well, I got the dozen eggs this week. And all they would get together and we'd have like a buffet and breakfast because somebody would stay behind to cook breakfast for three families.
Whoever kills the first deer has to stay back and get breakfast for everybody else.
But everybody would pitch in.
I'm telling you right now.
It's all about the commodity.
Yeah,
the commodity. I'm telling you right now.
That's a quote from Booger Rachel.
Booger Rachel. He's all about the commodity.
Would not want to be trying to feed Frank. People don't know Frank. Frank is the most skinniest, narrowest son of a gun you met. But he eats like a 600-pound sumo wrestler.
Good.
Oh, man, it's horrible.
And you know what's even worse than that? He also shits like one.
Thank you, Jack. I'm going to say, because he's relieved himself a few times in my camper.
They ain't no pain to peel off.
Yeah.
Done peeled it all off, buddy. Good mess.
Lost the toilet through the floor a few times.
Hey, when we empty the septic, we do it as we drive off.
Yeah, that makes good sense.
Yeah, tie a string to the bumper of the truck for the relief valve.
That ain't good, Frank.
Why?
I felt
pretty good when I got done.
He's going in your camper tonight.
He's not. No, he's not.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Frank.
How these conversations can take the left turn at the rodeo.
Now, I thought we were talking about deer hunting.
We are.
Hog hunting.
So, strategies for next season. Because, obviously, our strategies for this season have not paid off. What are our strategies for next
season? This season, I blame it on COVID. The deer got the memo to stay home.
Yeah. You can't eat corn with a mask on.
Nope.
Okay.
So what's the strategy for
getting rid of COVID? We have deer coming out.
I don't know. What do you think?
My strategy, like Jack and I was talking earlier, is move like the corn areas where you feed, maybe away from your stand, especially in East Texas with hogs are a problem. Maybe attract the hogs over there with the feeder and maybe pour corn or cottonseed.
Yeah.
We haven't tried it. Yeah, but
I don't know if it's like, going to work out here, but I don't know why it wouldn't work.
Yeah,
I don't work out here.
Like I've heard hogs won't eat cottonseed. I don't know if it's true.
They won't eat cottonseed, neither will coons.
So maybe put cottonseed where you want to actually deer hunt and throw a decoy feeder out.
The thing about East Texas is there's so much green stuff to eat. So what about cottonseed is going to be more attractive to them than whatever green stuff they can eat? Why would they choose cottonseed over that? I don't know if there's a reason.
You want to attract hogs? You throw sweet feed.
I know how to attract hogs, but what I'm talking about is you spend all this money on cottonseed for the deer, right? Well, why are the deer going to come to the cottonseed if they would prefer to eat clover over it or whatever we have growing wild out? Look at all the green shit we have right here behind
us. It's like bringing one of the protein. They'll know they need to eat the protein versus the.
But will they?
Yes. If we start feeding protein out here.
The only problem with the protein is that the hogs will eat it too. So it's going to attract the hogs and the coons as well. So the advantage with the cottonseed is that it doesn't attract coons and hogs. It attracts deer, but I don't know if it attracts deer over the amount of green stuff they have already to eat.
But cottonseed's not green.
But when you look at South Texas and West Texas, the deer out there, they have to. That's why they come to the feeder so more often.
Prevalent. cotton seed is prevalent in South Texas.
Is it?
Yeah, that's all your cotton's grown.
He's always.
No.
I don't know. South Texas, from Houston,
Richmond, Rosenberg, it's all cotton fields south of there.
I don't know, Frank.
I know, because I've done it. I've worked the cotton. My great grandfather.
Which one?
Owned a gin, a cotton gin right there.
He owned a gin?
Yeah, a cotton gin in Neville.
A gin or a gin?
Gin. Cotton is the only grow up there.
Oh, they stopped that a long time ago.
Oh, bullshit.
You can't do it. Oh, they quit growing cotton down there.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
That's why you burn in September. No, that's why you work. No.
They quit growing cotton down there.
Down where? Argentina?
No, down that Amish company.
Because how do you think? Thank you, Jack. Because I've worked in a cotton gin.
Hold on, who's Jenny? I'm lost.
But
who puts the cotton seed in the deer feeder?
You. The cotton seed.
I don't know. Why does a deer eat cotton seed?
I don't know.
Because I don't even know for sure if it's actually
cotton seed. They do. This is a deer thing.
You have side railed. Like you've taken this off the track. Yeah. What is cotton seed? Is cotton seed actually cotton seeds?
No.
And why would deer eat it?
I don't know.
I know it's good for them. I know
why
it's
is it good for them?
I don't know. I just know that it's good nutrition for deer for antler growth and.
That's a protein.
I guess. I don't know.
Project for me. Lesson learned. Let you know, a little embarrassing part of my life is my wife's mother loves to go to estate sales. So she talked me into going into an estate sale. We're standing in line. They don't start till 9 in the morning. We're there at 7:30. Second one in line. Third one in line is this old fella. Mm. We're sitting there talking, and this estate sale is supposed to have a bunch of ammunition. So I'm saying, I was like, I'm going to be a bunch of ammunition and get ahead of the game.
I'm here for 30
up. So, speaking of, I have a box of 270 shells I got from that sale. All
right.
Standing there, and there's this old man with a cane. Standing behind me, he's like, son, you here for this ammunition? And I'm like, yeah, just certain types. So we got to talking. And this man used to oversee a lease for like 20 or 30 years down in South Texas. So he started talking about cotton seeds. And he said, I'm going to tell you a secret about these deer. So he showed me some pictures, and he had some, looked like chicken wire, and they hog wired it together and had T-posts drove in the ground. And it looked like big white balls of cotton. And he said, that's the trick. He told me that's the trick.
What is the trick?
The cotton.
If it's the white ball of the cotton, then that's the actual cotton ball that has the cotton seed in it.
Okay. So this is where I looked like an idiot going to a feed store. I asked him, I said, well, where do you buy it at? He goes, just go to your local feed store and get it. So I went to my local feed store in Conroe, Texas. I said, hey, this old guy told me cotton seed's where it's at. And deer love it. And she goes, okay. So we got cotton seed, cotton this, cotton this, cotton this. There's like four different types of cotton seeds or cotton, whatever it is.
Okay.
So project to me, I'm going to figure out what kind it is.
So did you buy it? Did you buy any of it?
No, she made me feel like I was an idiot. So you left. Oh. And I bought some fly poison. Because I had...
I'll just take the fly bait.
I bought fly poison because it was bad on my back porch.
Okay.
I didn't want...
So you bought cotton nothing?
Cotton nothing. Okay. But this old guy, and he told me that's what attracts the deer in.
Cotton seed.
Well, when I was younger...
Cotton or cotton seed?
Well, he told me cotton seed.
Cotton seed.
But you want the cotton boil with the seed in it.
Now he sounds like the woman behind the counter at the feed
store.
You're
only confusing him more.
Well, yeah, I was asking what the old man said because... Okay.
But if you know so much about it, why haven't you brought some up here?
I didn't know it. Like a deer. I just know about growing the cotton and cotton gets into gin and gets to your coats. I tell you all about that. And the cotton seed.
Are you a cotton picker? Like from way back? Or
do you
like
know who Eli Whitney is?
Yeah.
Who's Eli Whitney?
I know the name. I don't know the name.
He don't know nothing about cotton then.
Who? Eli Whitney is the one that invented the cotton gin. And you know the cotton gin is the only one that's ever had an improvement on the patent.
Who invented cotton whiskey? I mean,
no.
How about cotton vodka?
I worked in a gin. Okay, I've run the vacuum to suck the cotton out of the trailers. I've run the wedges that done it in the fields.
For Frank.
I've run the cotton pickers. I don't know. That's new on me. See all about cotton. I can't
tell. No, you can't tell us all about cotton.
What do you want to know?
You act like you're an expert on cotton, but is it cotton seed, cotton balls?
Got the deer part, I can't tell you. But the cotton part, I can. I can tell you when you're running the gin, you got
so what's the different stages?
The cotton starts as a ball. Boom.
I thought it started as a seed.
It would have to start as a seed because what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Either this or that. When the cotton blooms, okay?
Yeah.
When you take it to market, you got to bloom.
Okay.
That's what they pick with the cotton pickers, and you throw it in the trailer or the wedges or whatever. Okay, when it gets to the gin, the whole thing about the spinning jenny is because they have to separate the cotton seed from the cotton, because that's the biggest part.
The fiber.
Yes, because the fiber is wrapped around the seeds. Okay. You got to pull the seed, pull the fibers, get them back to basically lint, and you have all your cotton seeds going in this part of the gin, and you got all the lint going, and you press it back together, and you get a 700-pound bale, and you get 500 pounds of cotton seed.
Okay.
So what is the deer like?
I don't know.
I mean, like, so what about this makes me a better deer hunter? That's all I need.
I have no idea.
Tell me what it's going to bring deer to my feeder.
All you do is
so, yeah. Now. So I've actually been listening to it, and there's a podcast I've been listening to a lot, and they talk about it. It says the cotton seed brings the deer, it attracts the deer. It's good. It's good for the deer, but it does not attract the hogs or the coons.
But the actual seed?
I do not know if that applies to East Texas, because East Texas seems to be a different animal.
Yeah.
Just like everything else, like I said, you know, people in West Texas, they leave West Texas all the time. They come to East Texas, and they'll get on a deer lease for $800 a year and think, yeah, they're going to think they're going to see the same deer here in East Texas that they're going to see in West Texas, but they're not. It's never going to happen. It's different. Things are different here. So if the cottonseed works in West Texas, that doesn't mean it's going to work worth a damn here. Just like the alfalfa. We put out alfalfa. You put it out in West Texas, they annihilate it. You put it out here, and it's...
Well, in East Texas, you got oaks. You got acres.
You're dropping acres, yeah.
West Texas, there's not an acre around.
Yeah.
You go and you take a bag of acres and put it in the feeder, they're going to make shit over that, too.
You think?
Yeah, I know.
In West Texas?
Yes. Rocks.
You think though, because they might look at an acorn and say, yeah, that's foreign.
$16 a bag protein are the free acorns that can pick up at East Texas.
You put acorns in your feeder.
Yes.
So I got a question.
It's the same protein.
How did your spinner work?
We're good.
What's the protein ratio of an acorn versus
they eat the shit?
I just
know what?
I don't know.
Sorry, Jack. Hang on. Bullshit.
No, it's the truth.
I'm still trying to figure out how a corn feeder is going to spit out acorns.
I don't know what part of Texas you live in. Where I live in, everything's bigger in Texas.
I need Dr. Spinner
down. Even the acorn.
It's going to spin acorns out.
You literally put acorns in a
gravity feeder.
Yeah, you put it in.
Okay. I haven't hunted West Texas since I was a kid. My dad used to. He only believed in hunting West Texas. He didn't believe in this East Texas shit.
Well, I only got West Texas a couple times.
Now things are different to where people like us, the normal people, can't afford to hunt in West Texas. We can only afford to hunt in East Texas.
Yeah.
So the whole point of this podcast is to try to help us all figure out how to be better hunters in East Texas, because it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. And the guys that are sitting out in the national forest and killing nice deer, props, man. Props to you, because that is not easy to do. You can't, especially in public land. Exactly. Because I mean, I'm in a couple of Facebook pages that are with Sam Houston National Forest public land hunters and stuff like that. And there is times that these guys, they'll take off of work, so they're losing money because they're not at work. They're up a tree, and at daylight, some dude, random guy, just walks by them. And there's nothing you can do.
Nope.
There is nothing you can. And some of these guys are still killing nice deer. And so, hey, you're a good hunter. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Props. You're good.
Hey, props. Good friend of mine. Hate to throw your name out there. Doug Zapata. 2 years in a row. Two big bucks, I think, of 8 point and a 10 or 11 this year. National Forest land.
It can be done.
But
they're out there.
He still is yet to give me where he goes to hunt in the National Forest.
That's why he gets to kill him and you don't.
That's right.
That's why you're paying however much money we're paying out here. And
that's why we pay out here, and we get to see
the good thing. The difference is, though, when you're out here, you can ride your four-wheeler.
Yes.
In the off-season, I can bring my kid.
You can feed.
You know,
that's a horse you can feed.
Right. And when it comes to hog hunting, which I enjoy, we all enjoy hog hunting in the off-season, we can feed for the hogs. You know, we can bait the hogs. And my son comes out on his four-wheeler. He rides around. It's fun. Like, I like being on the deer lease. I respect what the guys do in the National Forest. A big thing about the National Forest guys, though, is they hate us. I think they hate us. I really think they hate, like, they're like, if you hunt with a rifle or a crossbow, you're just lazy. You know, like,
if you got to bait the deer, you're lazy. But I guess, you know what? Guys that hunt the National Forest, it's harder hunting where we hunt, where you pay. In East Texas, because we're baiting the deer, we still can't get it.
Well, we're on 4,800 acres out here. Is it 3,600 acres? And there's 54 people on this lease. Yeah.
There's nobody in there.
Good point. Good point.
There's nobody in there disturbing the woods.
Good point.
We have, you know, 1,000 acres cut every year.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because like East Texas hunters, you notice a big difference between paper companies and timber companies. Big difference. So legendary James Booger Rachel.
That bastard.
You know what? I ain't going to say it doesn't matter if it's a paper lease, lumber lease, or he could be hunting on a plot of sand.
Yeah.
He come out here hunted as a guest last weekend.
Saw deer.
We ain't seen much of nothing.
Hey, that big 9-point he's got on his wall? I was on my phone. I walked under this oak tree. I'm like, damn, Booger, look at these big old buck tracks, man, right here at camp. Can you believe that? The next morning, I went to my deer stand. I drove a mile and a half to my deer stand, and he woke up late. And he's like, well, we saw these big buck tracks right by this oak tree. I'm just going to sit right down here on this stump and see what I see and kill that monster freaking 9-point. Yes, dude. And yeah. No. It was the one in Lufkin that we were on for a couple of years. Me and him were on that lease for a couple of years. And it's like, that's the biggest buck ever killed on that lease. And he's like, you weren't far enough from camp. And he's like, I was sitting on a stump, and a deer walked out, and I shot him. I mean, it's just like, God, some people have all the luck, dude.
All of them. You know, like the old movie, Robert Redford, Horse Whisperer?
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her. The Horse Whisperer, Robert Redford?
No.
Oh, man. Like, Booger is, for some reason, a deer whisperer.
Yeah.
That's some gun. He can sit on the stump. And he'll bring the biggest buck out there. I don't know how it does.
That deer will be out there licking the stump, and he'll shoot broadside from 30 yards.
But you got to look, too, though. Look at the hours that he puts in versus us.
Well, look at the hours he's available to put in versus us. That's
I know he'll come out versus us. I mean, I don't know what a lot of hours people hunt. So between Jack, Frank, and I, we get out there, and we're good 30, 45 minutes before daylight in the stand. We'll hunt till, 10:30? 10:45, run back to camp, you know, take care of your business, because Frank tends to bring spicy Popeye's chicken on Friday night before we got to hunt Saturday morning, which I love.
Mom and Dad's going to be saying, you got to buy chicken this week.
Man, I love that spicy chicken from
Popeye's.
Worst meal you can eat on a Friday evening before you got to hunt Saturday morning.
Don't blame it on the beard. That's
nothing new with the beard.
That's a bitch move.
Man, we get out there, hunt all morning, come back into camp just enough to take care of your business, get something to eat, and we'll be back in the stand at 12:30 and hunt till dark. So East Texas hunting's hard.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
Booger sits still? You don't?
No, no. Well, when Booger was hunting this lease, he didn't see that many deer.
Yeah, I don't think when he was on this lease, he ever killed a buck that he put on the wall.
Oh, never. Never.
He was here for how many years?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
So it's hard, man. It's not easy. And I have a couple deer on my cameras on this lease I would put on my wall.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't seen them.
I've got one
during the day
on my camera.
Yeah.
But I've never seen one. The biggest one I've seen is a 6-point.
But we know they're out here and they're alive because we're catching them on our cameras.
But all the traffic and all the, because you got 54 hunters on 3,200 acres. Versus, like, we're Booger's hunting now.
Yeah.
Okay, he's got
700
on 2,700 acres.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
So that's
the timber lease versus the paper lease.
That's a question I hit Jason with earlier. if they decided to cut this deer lease in half,
in a heartbeat,
would you be willing to pay twice as much?
In a heartbeat. What about going MLD?
That would, I mean, that's an option too. I mean, and all that's a matter of is calling the state and getting them to come out here
and do the studies.
Yes.
Because we've done the studies at the other lease I was on prior to, before they started the MLD. Like I said, it was 20 years ago when we done it.
Yeah.
We sent the jaws in and everything else. They give us, you know, what we should kill and give permits and that.
It's a biologist thing. They have to come out here and do that. But they don't just come out here and do it unless you invite them to come out here and do it.
Right.
But at the same time, if you have the amount of acreage that we have with the amount of hunters that we have,
they wouldn't do it.
And I think we're handicapping ourselves.
We are.
So the traffic is we're paying, $675 a year? So
no, it's going up. No.
So, but if you cut the hunters in half, if we went from 50, how many, four?
54.
Just say 50. So if we went from 50 to 25, would you be willing to pay twice as much for this lease?
I'd pay $1,200 for this lease.
I would too.
In 3 or 4 years, I wouldn't do it the first year.
No.
But you would have to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would, but I wouldn't.
Because it'd be about what the future. It's,
yeah. Okay. I would do it. I would pay it, and I would stick it out.
Yeah.
For like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
If it didn't get better.
Well, I would need to see how it's managed. Because we have a lot of hunters on here that we have too many free spots.
Free spots?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What's a free spot?
Well, you know, you're standing committee.
Is this something doing like sausage on the table again?
Oh, free spots. So yeah. You're talking about unpaid members.
10 spots is unpaid members. Okay?
Is there 10 spots? No way there's 10. Mm-mm. I know of three.
Two. Larry. Mary. Mary.
That's three.
Okay, that's
six. Six spots.
Oh, because they each get two spots. Okay.
Well, Overseer gets three, but that's fine with the Overseer. He gets three.
No, he gets three.
I think he pays for.
He pays for his wife.
Yeah. He gets
the
Overseer gets three spots.
Okay.
But then, like, the stand committee, there's one or two more.
Who's Bill, Larry, and.
Barry.
Barry.
Well, then. Okay.
My whole question is, would you be willing to pay twice as much for there to be half the amount of hunters?
But then we got to put gates up? And why don't we have gates on this lease?
We do have gates, but they're always open.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I don't know. I think that if we cut the amount of hunters in half on this lease, then the other half that are left would have a much better opportunity of killing a quality deer.
Oh, yeah.
And having the opportunity to kill a quality deer comes with actually paying more money to do that.
It gives the deer breathing room to even get up and move.
Yeah, a fighting chance to get up and...
Yeah, they can't even move. They can't get up and feed. They're forced to move at night. They can't move.
And I think at the bottom line of the whole situation is that's what's wrong with East Texas hunting. There's too many people.
Yeah.
People are paying $500 or $600 a year, and there's too many of them.
How many people are going to pay $1,000 for something? They may not kill nothing for a year. We got guys on this lease that can kill nothing in 5 years.
But I would, because guess what? You can pay $1,200 or $1,400 a year and drive 8 hours to West Texas, or you can pay $1,000 a year and drive an hour and a half from the house and have. Dude, there's some big. The genetics of the deer in East Texas are probably better than the genetics of the deer in West Texas. They need a chance to grow.
That's a problem. You don't see a 4 or 5 year old deer out here.
I agree. I do not disagree with that at all. But I still think that the genetics out here are just as good or better than West Texas.
The problem
is that there's too many people out here that are paying $500 a year to hunt. If we made them pay $1,200 a year, we'd thin them out. And then we would have a chance at killing a quality buck. This year, on opening morning, I pulled out that road, and you know what it looked like? Crosstown traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was a traffic jam. Dude, there's taillights all the way down the road.
Like, how many did you know?
No, I mean, I don't know that I knew any of them. I just knew that by the time I got to my deer stand, the deer have been hearing motors running for the last hour and a half. Why are they going to get up? Why are they going to get up and move? Have I told you about the donkey?
Oh, I know the donkey.
Oh,
Jesse's donkey?
No. So I'm sitting in so you know where my south property stand is, right? Well, you know I have that truck.
Where my log road stand is.
Oh,
where my log road stand.
And so you know I have that tripod that's up in the woods a little ways from that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and it's dark. Ain't nothing moving and all of them are like,
in the morning.
And I'm like, man, you know, I watch a lot of Discovery Channel and a lot of stuff about Bigfoot. And Bigfoot does this whooping sound like whoop. And I'm like,
he does?
Yes, Bigfoot does that. I'm like, and now it, like, I'm getting chills, right? I'm sitting in my stand. I'm like, oh man, here comes Bigfoot, right? He goes, whoo! Oh, I'm like, what the hell? Like, there's this giant freaking donkey. He can't be more than 150 yards from me. He's on the other property. I'm like, God.
Hey, yeah, donkey's a big tattletale. They're better than a guard dog in the yard.
But who are they telling on?
I don't know. They tell you?
Nah, I can't imagine.
I hear this jackass.
Oh, yeah?
He's close enough to hear him, too.
I'm close enough to hear
but
him,
every
too.
Time he's going to do his thing, he starts out with, ooh! What the hell's that? He goes, oh, my God. Dang it, dude. Killing him.
That's
a big old donkey.
Swamp donkey?
Swamp donkeys have horns. So, hey, that spot in the back from the tin stand to the road is a swamp.
Yeah.
And for years, Booger said there's more than one swamp donkey in there.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
Okay. Good thing is my sweet sister Jody has a stand next to that swamp. And we're going to go from her stand, cut a lane in there because it's dry, and we get off on the edge of that swamp because there's got to be high points in there.
There does. And there also has to be street crossings where they cross the road out of that swamp. Yeah. Which we need to focus on.
Yeah. Because that's where we
need to look at funnel areas. Funnel areas coming out of that swamp and going into the thickets or whatever.
Because I'm telling you right now, that's where Booger and I, we were telling you the other day, you can take a cigarette pack next to these buck tracks. And the buck tracks are longer than the cigarette pack coming out of that swamp.
That's called a swamp donkey.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you need to come on and do it. Frank talks a lot. He don't make a lot of sense, but he talks a lot.
Yeah, he talks a whole lot. Oh, my God. That your cooler's got three waters in it.
Entertain the masses while I go grab another.
You know, hey, Jack's going to get himself another water since he has three waters in his cooler. Sort of embarrassing. One of the big things about deer hunting and hanging out at camp, you get to socialize, drink some cold beer or whatever your flavor is. Watch Frank walking up with his pants hanging half down. Okay, Frank got some input on the swamp.
I used to hunt with a guy who hunted in the swamp at the back of the deer lease. It was always 18 inches of water year round, no matter what.
What kind of browse do they have to eat in the swamp?
I think
are you saying they have no reason to come out of the swamp whatsoever?
No.
What about for breeding?
I mean,
if you're putting me on the spot,
yeah. Hey,
I've done it in some weird spots.
In the swamp.
Yeah, because hardwoods grow in the swamp before pines.
Yeah. Bad thing is they always say, I mean, deer won't eat the corn until the acorns start rotting.
You're right.
If it's in the swamp, though, the acorns start rotting pretty quick.
So
Bobby sounds like a booker.
Bobby Booker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he wasn't a good hunter. No, you shouldn't put Bobby in this conversation.
You think, and I used to think this, that deer are silent.
They are.
No, they're not.
Until you can't.
They're not silent, dude. You can hear them coming. Like, they make noise when they come up.
Oh, you have better ears than we do.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's that none of my deer stands really have quality windows in them, too. So
sure. It's always been my experience. Sit there hunting, you're really tentative, and you're watching, looking to your left, you look to your right, you're looking out the front, you're trying not to move your head too much, but you're glancing from side to side, and you look to your left, nothing. You look over to your right, and you look back to your left, and you're like, deer.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, poof, just like that, deer.
They're like a freaking ghost.
Yes. And they don't step out. They're just standing
They're just there. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
And I don't think they take steps.
No.
They're just like, whoop, there they are.
They're there. And then you're there. Then all of a sudden,
and whenever you're looking at them, they're looking straight at you.
Yeah.
And they look into your soul. And you're sitting there thinking, if I take a breath right now, he's going to see me.
If I move. If I move.
Like,
and then
for
you
sure.
start. You not pinch yourself,
because
if you hunt in East Texas, you go, is that a deer?
Is that really a deer?
Is
that a stick?
Is that one of those deer bushes?
What looks like a deer before the sun comes up is like it'll blow your mind, because when the sun comes over, like, oh crap, everything's a deer. Yeah,
problem is like when the sun starts coming up, the stuff you thought was a deer, it's not a deer. No. But then all of a sudden, where the sun's reflecting, you're like,
that's a deer.
Yep.
It done moved.
But you wait for it to move. An hour goes by and you're still waiting for it to move.
And then you look to your right and you go, deer.
Yeah. See, that's what's there.
That right there, that kind of stuff right there is the beauty of the podcast, is because at least I know I'm not the only dumbass that thinks like that.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are dumbasses too. Like, exactly. We can all be dumbasses together, because I'll be sitting in this, and I'm so nervous I can literally hear my heartbeat from outside of my chest. Yeah. I'm sitting in my deer stand here, bonk, 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 bonk. I'm like, oh, crap. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, shit, that's just a stick.
Yeah. Oh, you see, daddy's still putting your hand going, move, please move, please move. I put it out the window.
It's just a bush.
And it don't move.
Yeah.
The sun changes directions and it's gone.
Hey, how many times do you not hold the gun in your hand and he's like, yeah, that's something. And you put your gun out the window and you're looking through the scope.
And you don't see it.
Oh, my. Yeah, you cannot eat granola bar in the stand.
Why?
Because it's the loudest thing ever. Oh, I don't care if anybody can hear it outside of the stand, but in your head.
You can't hear it.
You eat a granola bar in your.
Well, what about cracking a beer, though?
That's an art.
It is an art form.
It is an art form.
Yeah. So I try to throw my jacket and everything, my sleeves and everything. But still, every once in a while, you still pop one and you can, it goes through the whole wood.
Yes. Even worse is have your little cooler on the floor and it shakes up on your ride out to the stand for the evening hunt.
Yeah.
And you get out in the stand, you're like, okay, well, it's nice. It's quiet. Then you have the ice in your cooler.
Yeah. That's way loud. That's why I use frozen.
Is there a trick for that?
I use frozen water bottles.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll take, when I bring a case of water, so I'll take water bottles, I'll put them in my freezer and freeze them. There it is.
Oh, I thought that was just like, because you didn't like drinking beer and you put water bottles in
there. I put that in there to keep my beers cold, but whenever you reach in there for a cold beer, you're not rustling around with the ice.
Yeah, I fight that. That's very good, because I always contemplate. Because
water's cheap.
Am I going to drink beer or am I going to hunt?
No.
What?
The answer is yes. We're going to drink beer and we're going to hunt.
Yes.
But are we going to kill?
That's a solution. Yeah, because I love deer hunting. But you know, sometimes I like having a beer in the stand.
Well, duh.
But then I have my little cooler and there's ice in there. And
you're welcome. I just solved all your problems. Good. You take two water bottles and you put them in your freezer. They freeze. No.
I'm sorry.
I'll put those right back in my freezer. No. No. It'll swell the water bottle. But the water bottle is a lot. I mean, it'll move. It won't pop.
You walked over there a pee while ago and I was talking and you said, you told me to entertain the mic.
Yeah.
And I was talking crap about you with your cooler with water bottles in there.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, like.
Now you know.
Now I know why. I stand corrected.
Who's the dumbass now?
Me. I am the dumbass. Dumbass now. Actually, you know what? I'm smarter now. I'm not even dumb now. I learned something.
So the whole point of this podcast is for us to take our misguided, experiences and. Maybe we can teach somebody else something. Maybe they can teach us something. That's what this is all about. Because you know what? There's a lot of people that hunt East Texas. But have you ever laid down in bed and got on YouTube and said, okay, East Texas deer hunting? There's nothing there. Like, there's nobody. Nobody has a YouTube page. Nobody has a podcast. Nobody has anything that focuses on hunting East Texas whitetail deer. Like, it's not out there.
Just bullshitting about it.
Because I'm not a pro at it. Clearly, I ain't even killed a deer this year. But I know a little bit about it, and you know a little bit about it. I mean,
I think I know a lot about it.
If we and if we put all our experiences together, we can probably help somebody else.
Yeah.
And if we bring some of these older people, like Booger, I've been trying to get him in on it. If we bring Dave
we need to get Dave sitting in on it.
I think Dave would be very, he has a wealth of knowledge in East Texas woods that people could capitalize on. But that's the whole point.
I think he would.
I think if you got him.
I've been hunting.
What does he have to lose? I think he enjoys seeing other people kill deer as much as.
I'm telling you right now, Dave. Dave come on and he talk about little tricks of cleaning animals.
Yeah.
Skinning animals. Hell, yeah.
So man, one thing I would like to do. I'd like to set up, and I have cameras, I have tripods, I have all this stuff. I would really like to set up a video of him cleaning an animal and put it on our Facebook page.
Because oh, man.
That's like, he is good. He's the best I've ever seen.
Best I've ever seen.
Yeah. He does. So if an animal has to die so that he can eat, he's going to make sure there's nothing wasted.
I sort of feel guilty because I cleaned the deer. Yeah. No, that was my deer, and he posted it on Facebook. I cleaned the deer, skinned it off, all the meat off the flanks, cleaned it deer. It was good. It was clean. And he goes, "Hey, Jason, do you mind if I
touch it up?
Clean on that a little bit?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Dave, no problem." And this is the art that Dave has. He got a whole nother gallon freezer bag of meat off the backbone of the rib cage.
Yeah.
So there is an art to cleaning.
There's no sense in wasting it.
Yeah.
We don't waste nothing.
That's what'd be good. I mean, I'm with you, Jack. You know, get your cameras.
We need the video. That'd
be good.
Yeah.
Like pointers. There's certain glands on animals. And Dave says, like, when you're cleaning a hog or you're cleaning a buck, he'll tell you right there on the inside of the leg, there's a gland there. You make sure you got to cut it out.
Yeah. He told me a story a few weeks ago about how he killed a spike buck, right? And he cut the glands off the inside of the back legs, and he hung them in a tree. And then the next morning, he killed another spike buck that was standing there sniffing of the glands he killed from the spike buck the morning before.
Really?
Because
it's like dogs.
It's a curiosity. So we definitely need to get him on the podcast because he's smart. And not only is he smart, he's fun to listen to. I mean, he has stories. That's the whole reason I wanted to bring Booger in on this. Booger's very smart. He has a lot of good stories too. So it's just, there's no shortage of the amount of people we can put on the podcast to help people in East Texas hunt better, be better hunters. He killed a mule deer yesterday.
You know what?
8-point mule deer. Or something.
Killed an 8-point mule deer, and then you know what? Classic pitcher Dave. Dave deals in knives. Yeah. Somebody Kennedy goes, "Hey, Bill Kennedy, this is what your knife can do." Classic Dave cleaning. There was a skeleton.
It's nothing but shiny bones.
Yeah, it was just shiny bones. He posted it yesterday or today. He goes, "Well, he cleaned it." That's another thing. Like, what kind of knife to use? I'm sort of spoiled on knives, so. Oh, Dave, he's a good man, and help him all the time. And
I have cheap knives.
He designed a knife. He designed a knife and had somebody make it. Booger and I have the two knives. It's called the Patterson Design. Patterson Design. Booger and I got the first two, and nicest knife I've ever had in my life.
I need to get one of those.
Yeah. Did I ever show you my knife?
I don't guess. All I have is some cheap Game Winner knife set with the bone saw and all that. That's all I have. Why is it so dirty? What'd you clean with
that's
it?
That's off the sheet, huh?
It ain't.
The blade, handmade blade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's sheep horn.
Okay.
Booker has one identical except his.
I need one.
His thing's it's a little bit narrower on his.
I like that right there.
That's the one a little bit bigger.
So even Dave designed this. So with the little handle. So while you're cleaning.
Yeah, you wrap it around your wrist.
Yeah. So you can drop and you pull the skin.
Yeah. Go right back to cut.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit bigger. I don't know what you call it on a knife. But Dave likes to go.
So do you have to pay for it?
No. All the time. So we would help Dave.
They give it to him.
Feeders, okay. Like everything he does. Like,
okay.
This is what you do when you're hunting, right?
So what's a divorce story?
I was trading my Dodge pickup in.
Okay.
For a diesel.
Okay.
I had always carried this knife with me. So I grabbed a Walmart plastic bag and I was putting my stuff in it.
Yep. Unloading the old truck. Okay.
Traded it in, left the dealership with the new truck. And I got home and I took the Walmart bag with my stuff in my little center console and put it on the kitchen counter on the bar.
Okay.
So I went to start putting my stuff back in the truck and I was looking and I'm like,
no knife.
Hey, where'd that bag go on the counter? She's like, what bag? I'm like, you know, my skinning knife, and I had this and that in there, and I
you don't remember nothing but skinning knife.
And I put it. I said, "That's a knife that Dave had made for me." And she's like, "Oh my goodness! I hope I didn't throw it in the trash."
What?
And I said,
"You should better hope that you didn't
throw it." I hope you didn't throw it in the trash, because that would not be good. So, yes. But I was choosing my words carefully. I was choosing them real carefully because I love my wife.
Yeah,
more than anything in the world.
Yeah, but she's not that knife.
No, like, cannot replace that knife.
Yeah, she's great, but she's not that knife.
And like, God bless her, because she's like, "Baby, I really hope I did not throw that bag."
What?
And I'm like,
"Come on, man."
And I was like, "I really hope you didn't throw that bag away either."
Yeah, that's a problem.
So he's going back and forth, and my dumb ass figured out I took the bag and I had put it in my nightstand by my bed.
Okay.
So my wife did not throw it away, but yeah, my ignorance.
Yeah.
So, so I was scared about.
So who's the dumbass?
I am. I am the dumbass, because I was so safe. I was trying to keep it so safe. I hid it from myself. Jack, you never hid anything from yourself?
No, never.
Never.
They, never had a knife like that.
What you ever do that knife I give you?
Yeah.
He goes, "I took something."
Oh, yeah, he's here. Frank was here.
He doesn't give me a knife like that.
I've never sharpened it since he gave it to me.
You don't need to.
Oh, did they
know? He just sharpened it.
Ah, well, there you go.
But I'm telling you, those hogs we killed, deer, I never sharpened it. And then Dave called me out one day. He goes, "Hey, Jason, what'd you do with that knife I got you?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, Dave. You ain't got me, because guess what? I carry it in my truck with me everywhere I go."
Yeah.
That is an awesome knife. It's very nice. I'm telling you about it. Awesome. Dude, whew.
Yeah, I'd need one like that. Insane, man. Very comfortable, too, to hold. Yeah. To put your thumb right there.
Your thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got the curve.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. I need one. You probably won't give me one for free, though. I have to pay for that shit.
I got dudes like, you help him out.
I would help him out.
I mean, you know, hey, good thing about Dave, he probably spends more on corn than all of us put together every year. He, but he only puts like two bags at a time in the feeder.
And I know.
He has those crank feeders, though.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Hey, come on, Dave. If we're going to fill your feeder, let's roll it down. Let's fill it. Yeah. Let's do it one time." He's like, nope. My wife's calling.
Okay. Y'all say goodbye.
Thanks.
Jason
Tebow checking out. Wife calling me.
East Texas Eradicators. He's out. We'll see y'all, I guess, next time. Right, Frank? Yeah. All right. I'm going to edit this. I'm going to put it out there, and it's going to be a podcast, and we hope y'all love it. We'll see y'all next time.